Our scripture this morning is taken from the first book of Kings, chapter 12, and verses 1 through 15. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone there, to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this, and he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon, he returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him,
"Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you."
Rehoboam answered,
"Go away for 3 days, and then come back to me."
So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime.
"How would you advise me to answer these people?"
he asked. And they replied,
"If today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants."
But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. And he asked them,
"What is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father put on us'?"
The young men who had grown up with him replied,
"These people have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter.' Now tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions.'"
3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam, as the king had said,
"Come back to me in 3 days."
The king answered the people harshly. Rejecting the advice given him by the elders, he followed the advice of the young men and said,
"My father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions."
So the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from the Lord, to fulfill the word the Lord had spoken to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ijah, the Shilonite. Just so far.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for choosing to come to the 11 o'clock service. If you are a 9 o'clocker, welcome. It's great to have you this morning. If you are a faithful 11 o'clock attender, rock on. Good stuff. So it's a treat this morning to come to drive through a snowbank, have the snow flap over the hood of the car a bit, and have my girls giggle. They've enjoyed that. But it was a choice to come this morning, was it not? You know, we're all faced with choices. Some small, some big, some mundane, some rather monumental. Has anyone here ever read the story or watched the film depiction of what is called Sophie's Choice? Boy, powerful, powerful, powerful story. Sophie, fleeing the Nazis in World War II with her two little children, a little boy and a little girl, and stopped before getting on the train by a Nazi officer, and faced with a choice. He said, "Yes, I will let you go, but you have to make a choice because you can only take one child with you. Which will it be?" You imagine being faced with that choice? So she has to choose. And the end of the movie is she chooses one of her children. And she leaves for freedom. And the other child goes and walks closer to the gas chamber. It's terrible. So we're all faced with choices. I trust and I pray that you'll never be faced with that kind of choice. But how many choices have you already made so far today? You know, whether or not to get up, right? This, we have a running joke on Sundays when I preach. I'll look over at Heather and I'll say, "Oh, honey, maybe I'll just stay home today." And she'll say, no, honey, you can't. You're the pastor, right? So we have that little joke. It's fun. Probably wears a little thin on my wife after a while. But you had a choice whether or not to get up this morning, whether or not to come to church, whether or not to take a shower. You don't have to come to the door and tell me whether or not you had a shower today yet. whether or not to put on clean clothes or not. I don't know if you've ever experienced one of those days, maybe a Saturday or Sunday, where you get to spend the whole day in your pajamas. And you end up the day thinking, wow, look at that, never even got dressed today. Boy, those are good days sometimes. Whether to brush your teeth, whether to shave, we're all faced with choices, right? Would you believe me if I were to tell you that on the average, a human being will make today around approximately 35,000 choices? It's a lot. It's staggering. It's actually tiring if you think about it. Now, many of those are very subconscious, and you will make all kinds of choices without really realizing it, but some of them are not. You may be deciding right now whether or not to keep listening. Right? Well, what do you do when you have to make a choice, make a decision? Do you become incapable of making a decision? Does analysis paralysis take hold in your life? Now, I have experienced that. I've walked with other individuals who experienced that. It can be a very painful process. No one wants to get into analysis paralysis, but it happens, right? And we overthink, and all the what ifs and will come into play, and we end up not making a decision at all about something that we really need to make a decision on. Does not making a decision, is that actually a decision? Perhaps you're the type of person that flips a coin, and life is just ridden on the back of a mighty stream, and you float along and just let the current take you wherever. Now, I had a female acquaintance, and she loved just flipping a coin in life. And one day, as we were talking in a big crowd in public, she picked a fight with a really big, muscular guy because she wanted to see how I would handle it. I appreciate the fact that I have a bit of a quick wit and a sense of humor, and I was able to diffuse the situation. But I do not like getting into situations like that. Maybe you're like Carl, as played by Jim Carrey in the movie Yes Man, done in 2008. Yes Man Carl is challenged to say yes to everything for an entire year. And you discover in the movie how absolutely dangerous, absurd, and ridiculous it can be to be a yes man. Or a yes person. The truth is, some of us are yes people, right? And because of pressure, we're incapable of saying no, and our lives become disastrously divided, and destructive behavior comes to play just because we're incapable of saying no. Well, maybe you're the other side of that. Now, I remember one of the first churches that I was involved in, I had a group of very faithful followers of Christ. And I loved them to death. They were great people. And but this was their motto. This was their vision statement as a church. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. They meant every word of that. Well, the truth is, whether or not we get into analysis paralysis, or we flip a coin, or we're very stubbornly consistent in one direction, life brings opportunities for choice and decision, whether we want it or not. After King Solomon's death, The kingdom has a decision to make. Now, from the text, we discover that there is a rather vocal referendum that is going on in the kingdom. And the tribes to the south, Benjamin and Judah, and the tribes to the north, the 10 tribes to the north, they are not in agreement as to how this arrangement ought to work. And if you remember historically, King Solomon's father, King David is the one who unites the kingdoms. And he negotiates his reign, so to speak. I mean, it's all in the hand of God. God's hand is moving on him, and the prophet anoints him as king while King Saul is reigning, and we know the Spirit of the Lord leaves King Saul and becomes a part of David's life, and we know he establishes the kingdom, but under King Solomon, his son, things progress to deteriorate. They begin to deteriorate, and that progresses to a point that we are here now after King Solomon's death. We have a vocal referendum that happens for the northern 10 tribes. Now, they are fronted by Jeroboam. Now, maybe you're like me, and you will continue to struggle with remembering who's who in this story. Right. So, of course, they'd have to have very similar names. So somebody, protecting Amos, will call him Scott at the back, said, just call them Ray and Jerry. Right. Well, we could do that. But Jeroboam is to the north and Rehoboam is to the south. Rehoboam is the heir to the throne. He is called and chosen by King Solomon before his death. But we have Jeroboam in the north, who is preferred by the 10 tribes. And we know that when Solomon heard about this, he wanted to actually deal with it swiftly. So Jeroboam flees to Egypt. But now this verbal referendum is going on, and Jeroboam hears about it, and he comes back, and he is the face of the dissension of the 10 tribes. And so they are faced with a decision. The 10 tribes, fronted by Jeroboam, have some terms for formal allegiance and alliance to Rehoboam, Solomon's choice, to rule the united kingdom of Judah, Benjamin, and the 10 tribes. So in verse 4, we read the terms of the agreement. They say, Solomon, put a heavy yoke on us, lighten the yoke, and we will serve you. Well, there you go. It's easy, right? And so they're trying to do this trade deal with their neighbor to the south. And so they basically come and they say, you know, just be easy on us in trade, you know, no tariffs, no duties, and this will all go well, right? Well, we've never heard of that before, have we? Does that sound familiar to you? You know, and that's as political as I'm going to get today. Well, the difficulties and polarization we see in the text is nothing new. We see it regionally in Canada all the time. Whether it's the statement the West wants in, whether it's dialogue and discussion about what it means to be a distinctive culture and society within Canada, what it means to be a have-not province, all of these discussions continue to go on even to this day in Canada, and we see a polarization even in the regions of our country. So this is nothing new. Actually, yes, the kingdom was united under David and Solomon, but the tensions between the north and the south had been there since the times of the judges. And we know the times of the judges, we read that actually the different tribes, and in particular the families of the tribes, we read that they really lived life and did what was right in their own eyes. And I don't know about you, but But when you get 12 brothers or sisters, 12 family members together in a room and ask them what they want to do, hey, I only have two daughters. And the most perplexing thing sometimes is to ask them what they would like to do. Right? And one wants things to be hotter, the other wants it to be colder. One wants it to be whiter, the other wants it to be darker. Right? One wants it to be quieter, the other one wants it to be louder. And I kid you not, this is what happens in my family all the time. Right? And I think it's how dads learn to disengage, actually. And so this is nothing new. Tensions between the north and the south had been there since the time of the judges. Jealousy and animosity had been brewing for more than a generation. And the people put tribal loyalty above national unity. And so Rehoboam hears their terms and he seeks counsel. That's not a bad thing to do, right? We ought to seek counsel. So we read in the story that he tells them, go away for 3 days and we'll have a decision in 3 days, right? Poor the leader of England. What's the prime minister's name? Theresa May. Thank you. Thank you. Good heavens. See, I told you I wasn't going to go political and I am, right? And I watched some of the live footage of the Brexit discussion and the vote in the House of Commons in England. It's incredibly fascinating. And something that they haven't been able to come to agreement in 2 years. This is what she said as they left the House of Commons. She said, this is on a Friday. She said, we'll have an answer for you on Monday. Wow. Good luck with that. And pray for them. There's big decisions they have to make as a country. So Rehoboam seeks counsel. We read that young and old alike come to him as he asks them for advice. Well, here's what the older ones say. The seasoned politicians, the civil servants of the kingdom of Solomon who have had tenure through his reign and who have experienced what it was like to live under his rule and reign, they're coming to Rehoboam and they say this. They say, lighten the load a little bit and you will win their allegiance, right? But if you read in the text and if you read discussions about this, actually what they are saying is, let's give them the appearance that we are going to agree with them and let's ease a little bit, but then let's just go back and revert back after a while. So this is really what they're talking about, is manipulating the situation. Make it seem like we are listening. And then Rehoboam goes to the younger ones. Now, these are the ones who he has groomed and has called alongside him, his entourage. They have been mentored. They are guys and gals of his generation. And this is what they say. They say, well, actually, you need to make an example of them. You need to provide a yoke that is even heavier than your dad did. A yoke of burden will break their will, and then we will have solidified our power and control of the entire kingdom. Well, before we get into, well, should have listened to the older ones. You know, there's an application here, right? You need to listen to your elders because the elders always know best. I don't actually see that in the text. Actually, think when I read this and I pray over it, I think these are actually both really poor advice. These are both poor choices. Isn't it interesting? Rehoboam says, go away for 3 days and come back and then we'll have an answer. Boy, that almost sounds biblical. Right? Let's fast and pray for 3 days. Oh, wait a second. But he didn't talk about that. Let's go away and we'll pray about this. We'll ask the Lord, and the Lord, after 3 days, will have an answer. We'll have peace about this. It's not in the text. It's just not there. The biggest decision that Rehoboam is going to make his entire career, and they never thought to ask God what God might desire. Because it was all about power and profits. Not profit, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, but P-R-O-F-I-T. Notice here, the discussion is all about, it's all about money. This is quite a departure from Moses' prayer in Exodus 33. Right? In Exodus 33, Moses is going up the mountain. He is going to spend time with God. He's going to receive the Ten Commandments, 2 tablets of stone, 10 commandments on one, 10 commandments on the other, duplication of the 10 commandments. One copy is for God, one copy is for the people. You know, you get that receipt and you get the yellow one, and the store gets the white one, or vice versa. And that's your legal agreement. Yes, we've made this transaction, and the store is abiding by these rules, and I'm abiding by these rules. And that's what's happening here. There's this legal agreement between God and his people. And Moses says these great words in Exodus chapter 33. He says, "Lord God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." Moses understands, he sees the importance that this has to be bathed and ordained, and it has to be of God. Do we do this? How often do we stop to think, I wonder what the wise thing to do here would be? How often do we consult God? Now, I'm not talking about proverbial paralysis, right? And unless I can find it written in the words of the Bible, I can't do it. And I've met individuals like that, and they live life in paralysis. But it's not the flip side of that. It's not biblical bingo, right? And it's not, okay, so I really want to do this, so I'm going to hunt the scripture, I'm going to find a verse that seems to indicate that this is okay to do, and then I'm going to run with it. And both sides of that are very dangerous. You know, this weekend, Bob and I and a few others had the privilege of joining with other church leaders, marketplace leaders from around the world. One Way Ministries, Love Ottawa, brought in a number of great, great dynamic individuals who shared with us the movement of God around the world and unity movements in the Spirit of Christ that are breaking barriers across the board so that Jesus Christ can be proclaimed and evangelism is happening like never before. It's a great experience. And on Saturday in particular, one of the speakers, Gary, he talked about the necessity of coming to God and bathing everything in prayer before you ever take a step toward a decision. And he talked about this personally in his own life. He said, have you ever had a want not prayer? It's like, I'm not sure what you mean. He talked about living and praying Psalm 23, verse 1. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Do you understand that? Do we understand that? When we are with God, there are no wants. The end of Psalm 23 says that surely goodness and mercy will follow me, will pursue me all the days of my life. And so the nation is being divided. And they're about to face destruction and dispersion because of their wants. When if they just came to God, they might hear the words of King David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In Isaiah 56, verse 7, we read, this is God declaring his desire that he will make us joyful, a joyful house of prayer. In Jerusalem, they would have found unity. Now, I don't want to read too much into this, but we read that Rehoboam goes north to Shechem, and Shechem is kind of the geographical central location, right? And so, it's like Toronto being the center of the universe, right? Right, Bob? And so they go north to Shechem. And they leave Jerusalem. Boy, it's almost like symbolically, Rehoboam he's leaving the presence of God to make the biggest decision of his life. Jeroboam, he decides later on that it would be a really good thing to keep people away from Jerusalem. He says, oh my goodness, so if I become the king of the 10 tribes, and we've already copyrighted the name Israel, so we're taking that. We negotiated that in our separation. But what am I going to do about this religion thing? I can't have them going down to Jerusalem all the time. If they go down to Jerusalem, well, that just might unify the kingdom again. I can't have that. I know. Let's make two golden calves. Aaron made a golden calf. He made one. Let's do two. We'll make two golden calves, and people can go there, and they can do their churchy thing, and that'll appease them, and we'll have our own. We'll have our own worship. Oh, the people are so far off course. You know, it's inevitable that they would be divided, destroyed, and dispersed. And we see this with the Babylonians, with the Assyrians, and so forth. Why did all this happen? Well, in verse 15, we read that this was actually part of God's plan. But this happens because of some really poor choices. This happens because Rehoboam chooses a heavy yoke for his people. Have you experienced a heavy yoke? Have you ever experienced a burden? Maybe a choice you made? Maybe it seems like there was no way around it. It's just something that was out of your hands, and you're faced with a Sophie choice. Well, we read in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I think as families, as individuals, as a church congregation, we need to experience Psalm 23, verse 1 experience. I think that's what we need to experience. Because when we are with the Lord, we have no wants. Your marriage will thrive with the foundation of Psalm 23, verse 1. When your marriage is with Jesus, it will have no wants. When your relationships are with Jesus, your relationships will have no wants. When your family is with Jesus, your family will experience no wants. When your finances are dictated and guided by the hand of Jesus, your finances have no wants. When your identity is not found in some trendy ideology in the world, but it is found in Jesus, your identity has no wants. This is not a joke, right? It's a yoke. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. The kingdom is divided. The people fall further away from God. Their city declines and their wants increase. In Christ, the heir to the throne of David and rightful king, we have everything we could ever need. So I don't know what choices you have to make. There are a lot of them. I trust and I pray that you'll experience a life of no wants the closer and closer you come to Him. Shall we pray? Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for everything He has done and means to us, for us. Lord, may He fill us to overflowing. And may we experience, Lord, His hand of protection, of guidance, of love, of care, as we experience a life of no want. Father, may we not experience division, decline, and an increase of wants, but may we experience an identity in Christ that we might experience life to the full as we experience more and more of Him. May that be our choice today, Lord, to choose life, to choose Christ and life in Him. We pray in His name. Amen.